Our guest this morning is Adam Sontag, who is the Ripon City Administrator. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me again.
Still in your summer hours?
We have summer hours, yep. So, okay. What is it, Memorial Day to Labor Day? So,
I think so, yeah. So,
but usually we end early on Fridays, but that also, we generally, a lot of us do stay late because it's kind of a catch-up period. So it's a nice little thing, but Labor Day, we'll be back to being open till 4:30 on Fridays. So.
Okay. All right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, people are busy and they're doing other things.
Well, we did, like, a few years ago, we were calculating it all out, and there were, like, everybody else is on vacation. Nobody's coming in on Friday afternoons generally. And you can, you know, there's ways to get a hold of us. And so, so it's all good. I think it works out pretty well for, and it's pretty well, known at this point.
Yeah.
So
last common council meeting, the council approved, what would be, I guess, shorten the version, RFP for the shared ride taxi service.
Yep.
Now, you have to set the hours. This is all federally mandated, right?
Yeah. So the shared ride taxi service is funded in large part by a federal and state grant, and it's a Section 5311, they call it. The federal government is heavily involved in not only the oversight but funding, the administration of it. There's a lot of requirements that go along with the shared ride taxi service that are beyond just a normal taxi service, right? The city manages the service locally, but we have all of this other federal oversight and state oversight. So there's an entire division at the Department of Transportation that manages shared ride taxi and other transportation programs. And every 5 years, we generally have to go to get a request for proposals or do procurement. And that has an entire it is a huge document that gets put together, then has to be shared. And we have to review proposals select a new vendor or continue a vendor if they are the low cost option.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a pretty complicated program. It takes a lot of, there's like a lot of reporting required with it. And, the council, met a couple weeks ago and we discussed, cause our contract is coming to an end after 5 years, how we are going to proceed with, procurement of the service, with a number of hours. Cause currently we previous years we procured at over 13,000 hours annually. We're currently operating at around 11,500 hours. So we needed to kind of right size the procurement to the actual service, and the level of service that we're providing. So they actually selected a number of about 9,500 hours to offer annually. And the main reason is simply, the budget impact, and we currently pay $32.97 for a taxi to be out there, right? About 55% of that is the federal or state grant. Then there are rider fares, and then there's what's the city match. And the city match, there has been a deficit growing. The city was not adequately funding the taxi service fund out of the general property tax fund, with a subsidy from property taxes to fund that service for decades. We have begun doing that, but there's a deficit once we also had to acquire new vehicles because a lot of them were junk. So there's been a lot of things that we've been talking about over the past couple of years, but it's all kind of coming to this point now where we have to go to procurement. And our peer communities, because there's, 25, 30 other communities in the state that offer this same exact program in rural areas, they're seeing taxi rates from vendors be north of 40 plus, $40, $45 an hour, which is a significant increase in cost for the city. It's a while the grant covers 55% of that, it goes up in cost, right? Mm-hmm. And post-COVID, ridership has not recovered to what it was pre-COVID. We have seen about a 20 to 25% reduction in rides annually. So right-sizing the hours and not cutting the hours, we did remove hours at late night a couple years ago because we were only doing a couple hundred rides a year late night, where we're doing thousands of rides Monday through Friday and Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings. That's the heavier use. So we're using the data to say, okay, ridership is down, costs are up, projecting this out to say this service, we want to continue to offer, but we have to do it responsibly to the taxpayers because it could create a greater financial liability or concern, right, to everybody. And we have to be able to, you know, weigh this service versus every other service we offer in the upcoming, you know, budget mm-hmm. cycles. So there's been a lot of discussion about this. This isn't just something, you know, that has been discussed in a one meeting. We have, over the last 4 or 5 years, every year during budget cycles, during a review of rates, review of the contract with Brown Cab as our contract holder, we have discussed this. So it's just all kind of coming to this point. I feel, just based on the feedback from the council, the council is committed and the city is committed to continuing this service. But if we see a significant spike in that rate of, you know, from 30 to 97 an hour to something, you know, it could be very high, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the contractor providing it, the vendor, you know, they're looking at everything from labor costs, insurance costs, fuel costs, right? How, you know, because that's what we're paying for in the contract for them to offer that service. And we're just hopeful that it comes in competitive and we can then, you know, just work within the schedule and work within the driver's schedules to meet, you know, the core, you know, purpose of that service, which is, you know, elderly, disabled, rides to medical appointments, grocery stores. We understand it gets used for a variety of reasons. So I think it's, you know, we're looking at the data. We're trying to make the most responsible decision and commit to it, but also make sure it's sustainable. So we're not having to cut something else to keep the taxi going, right? Or we're balancing it all out. So that's a long answer, but I mean, it's a complex situation. It's not just, you know, reactionary to one thing. It's mm-hmm. a lot of things that are in the background, and frankly, it generally comes back to, at one point, the state and the federal government's share of the taxi service was not at 55%. It was closer to 70%. Mm-hmm. So the local share, and when we're on levy limits and we have expenditure restraint things within budgets or requirements, right? If something goes up significantly, that means we have to cut something somewhere else, right? So we're trying to balance that all out as we head into 2027 budget and into this procurement.
Okay.
Sorry, that was a lot, but...
No, that's fine. Houston Street project, a little behind?
Yep, a little behind. There was a delay to start with some of the equipment and the materials that were delayed a couple weeks, and then they hit bedrock. So they had to... Essentially, the sewer, sanitary sewer, was being put in, and I believe Scott Street to East Water, there was bedrock that they hit, because they had to go lower. The idea being that, when we redo the state highway in 2030, we upsized and, are planning ahead for that project to be able to connect into, Houston Street, the sanitary mm-hmm. in particular, because the state highway project doesn't go through that intersection at Matoman. So basically, we upsized that as a possible bypass to take the majority of the sanitary sewer from kind of the east side of town down the state highway and divert that from the area that goes down Blackburn. So we mm-hmm. upsized it from like 6-inch to like 10-inch in this project, so it provides enough capacity. But it also needed to then connect to the future sewer that is deeper on the state highway, and then there's a hill. So the hill was basically bedrock, a little hill there. And so that took, you know, when sewer is laid, they usually do about 200 to 250 feet a day. They were at about 50 feet a day. So it took a lot longer to get the sewer in that stretch. But we're working with the contractors to try to push forward a more aggressive schedule to keep it on schedule. You know, I just never know. Sometimes you dig and you find stuff. And in this case, the existing sanitary sewer replacing was not down as far. So probably because somebody way long time ago, you know, 80 years ago when the sewer was put in, knew they hit bedrock. And they said, but nobody kept that record, right?
Wow. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got to wrap things up.
Yep.
But the city's quarterly newsletter is out. You can get it at the website, I guess.
Yep. So we started a quarterly newsletter this year. We'd encourage people that you can sign up. You can just find it also on the city website. It can get emailed to you. There's updates. There's questions to, you know, that I answer from the public. There's, you know, recaps of things, upcoming information. I think in September we have our e-cycle event. I think that might have been put in there. So that's coming up. So just a good way to stay connected and involved and understand kind of what's going on or what's upcoming. So we'd encourage residents to sign up. It's newer this year. And, you know, if there's a bigger demand and people want it more frequently, we'll increase it from quarterly. But right now it's quarterly. Mm-hmm. So.
Adam, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Of course. Thank
you. Appreciate your time.
You bet.
We've been talking with Ripon City Administrator Adam Sontag this morning.